You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We turn now to our friends at the journal Nature. Each month, we check in with reporters there to discuss some of the top headlines in science. Right now, we've got physical sciences reporter Lizzie Gibney on the line from London. Lizzie, a few weeks ago, there was a lot of buzz here about a federal climate science report that one of the authors made public just before it was due for approval and release by the White House. And then just a week later, we learned that the Trump administration had failed to renew an advisory committee that's responsible for overseeing how these reports are produced and then used. How significant is this?
It seems like it's potentially significant. Obviously, there's a huge amount of worry about it. This kind of advisory committee, this one in particular, has been seen as very successful so far. So what this committee was supposed to do, it was a committee of the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. And the committee was supposed to help businesses and state and local government to prepare for climate change. And that's a very practical process. We're talking about bringing federal scientists together with people who manage water, who set standards for construction. And it seems like it's been very successful so far. So the fact that this advisory committee has been disbanded is something that scientists are very much lamenting at the moment.
And my understanding is that by disbanding this committee, that does not actually disrupt the process of the current National Climate Assessment report that is being produced, that's still on track, but it might put into question future climate assessment reports.
That's right. So this is still on track. It's going to come out next year. There is a little bit of concern that perhaps skeptics, climate skeptics within the Trump administration might yet try to meddle in some way with the feed-in of the technical side of the report. So all the different federal agencies put their comments on this report that's a precursor to the National Climate Assessment. So there is some concern there. And obviously, going forward in the future, there is wider concern about future versions of this assessment.
And perhaps one of the types of things that are causing concern among climate scientists, a researcher at Northeastern University in Boston, Jen Bowen, recently posted on her Facebook page an email from a Department of Energy official asking her to remove the words climate change or global warming from her project description. Colleagues of yours have looked into this. What have they found about how widespread this is and whether there's an official policy at the Department of Energy behind this request?
Right. So it seems like this is certainly not the only case. We also found out about another ecologist, Scott Seleska of the University of Arizona, and he also received a similar request regarding his research. So his research was on permafrost, and Jen Bowen's was on the effects of environmental stresses, so things exactly like climate change, on the ecology of saltwater marshes. Now, the Department of Energy says that there is no actual department-wide policy, no mandate that bans references to climate change. But there is perhaps some worry about grants like this getting cancelled at some point. And so it's almost a preemptive strike or maybe some level of self-censorship. The managers are trying to be pretty careful, I guess, to make clear that these projects, whilst they reference climate change, actually do fit with the president's budget proposal for next year. Because although that proposes scaling back a lot of programs to do with climate change, it still emphasizes the need to study subjects like how carbon cycles through ecosystems. And that's something that both of these projects were doing. So I think they want to make it clear that even though they have references to climate change, these are still projects that are very much that should be funded under the president's own guidance.
Well, and you mentioned that your colleagues spoke with a couple of scientists who've received these kinds of requests. I wonder how they're feeling about it. I mean, it's not a cancellation of their grant, but this is a level of political interference with the language of science, perhaps trying to, change how we think the focus of the research is going. Are they feeling like this is too much meddling, or are they feeling like this is something that they can handle as long as they get to go ahead and do the research?
I think there's a huge amount of concern, as you would imagine, about any kind of interference. I think science prides itself on being outside of political interference, ideally, and that's how it works best. But I think some scientists are also taking a bit of a long view and are thinking that as long as the interference doesn't directly change the science that's done, if we're talking at the level of the language that describes science being affected, then maybe it's something they can ride out, assuming that it's only for a couple of years, of course.
All right, switching gears. About a year and a half ago, scientists with the LIGO project made international headlines for detecting gravitational waves for the first time. Now gravitational waves are back in the news. Before we actually get to why, can you just, you know, give us a refresher? What are gravitational waves and why were they so important when they were discovered?
Sure. So gravitational waves are radiation that's emitted when enormous, extremely heavy objects in the universe collide. They move very fast. And when that happens, they actually distort space-time and send out these absolutely minuscule little ripples that we can actually detect on Earth. We have these detectors which sense absolutely tiny, like a thousandth of the width of a proton changes in distance. And that's how they're able to detect them. And these are events that we haven't been able to see before in the universe. So what we're doing is almost opening a new sense. We are now able to hear the universe, whereas before we were only able to see it.
Okay, so what's the new development that has gravitational waves back in the headlines?
Well, so as you mentioned, we've seen a couple of events before, but they were all of the same type. They were two black holes colliding. Now, the rumours on Twitter, and they are pretty well-founded rumours, are that this would be a completely different kind of event. This would be the collision of neutron stars. These are the enormously dense remnants of exploded stars. They're much less massive than black holes, and the collision would happen much slower. So it's a completely different environment to study. Neutron stars, we don't know very much about them. We don't know about the structure inside their core, how this very dense matter is arranged. And also, because the collision happens over a much longer time, we'd be able to get more data, which would help for better, more precise tests of Einstein's theory of general relativity. And then, of course, there's the really exciting thing about neutron stars, which is that they give off radiation, more conventional kinds of radiation that other telescopes would be able to see.
That all sounds really great, except that, as you mentioned, this is all founded at this point on rumors from Twitter. I mean, there's no publication, there's no official announcement from the LIGO project. So how confident can we be that there is a discovery, that this isn't just a false alarm or some hype?
Well, we certainly can't be completely confident that there is a discovery. What we are pretty certain about is that there is a candidate event, and that means that the LIGO team have detected something. They need to put more effort into figuring out if that is a real event that we think it is. But the reason that everyone's got so excited and that the rumour is very well founded is that, as I mentioned, these neutron stars would give out lots of different types of radiation. And so when the LIGO team thought that they perhaps saw colliding neutron stars, they released a public alert telling all the different telescopes around the world, many different types of telescopes, to train themselves onto this galaxy where the event probably happened. And so we have in the public record, we've got, you know, Hubble, we've got the Fermi Gamma Ray Telescope, all looking at this very same place and seeming to also see a kind of counterpart signal. So although we're not certain by any stretch of the imagination, and there'll be a lot more work to do to confirm it, it does look quite suspiciously like they're seeing something exciting.
We will have to keep our eyes and ears open for the official announcement there. That's physical sciences reporter Lizzie Gibney with the journal Nature. Lizzie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Heather.
I'm Heather Goldstone. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.